Sorry. Declare the meeting open. First up is apologies. No apologies, we are all here. Good news. Good to see us all. Staff in attendance, that will be noted. I don't have to go, please, I don't have to go through your names or I'd be had it. No. She may well think so. Okay, the confirmation of the agenda. It seems to me this is a fairly, it's a, again a kind of an internal agenda. We've got minutes and there are two reports, but we've got decision-making structure, remuneration, standing orders, and then something different, the ECHO Fund Terms of Reference, and then Plan Change 5A, High Court Appeal. Okay, having noted that, is there anybody here who wants to declare a conflict of interest for any part of the agenda?
Sorry, yes. Are we confirming the agenda? Because I've just got some concerns about the item 10. It says matters for noting, but I just want to understand, and I appreciate the appeal period has finished, but I'm not sure that I want it just noted. And I would like to have a debate about whether we should be supporting the farmers on the decision. So
absolutely.
I'm not sure if I, because it says matters for noting, I'm just wondering.
Just, I understand what you're saying. Can I just clarify something?
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's noting because the chance to change what we do as regards the High Court has passed us. Any decision that we make here today is irrelevant.
Had
correct? Had to be lodged yesterday.
And it was within staff delegation.
It was,
oh,
okay.
I guess it was wrongly within staff delegation.
Well,
yeah.
It was still within staff delegation.
No.
Okay.
So there will be some questions then from council.
Yeah, so if it's a matter for noting, I'm just we'll still have questions on it, will we?
Well, from the chair, yes, you can have questions on it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you. Sorry.
And there can be a discussion about that question, maybe. We'll just see
you.
How we go.
Thank you.
Okay? All right, so we've noted that. Public forum. Any members?
Conflicts of interest.
Oh, sorry, darling. Conflicts of interest? That's where I was, yes.
I'm conflicted on that because I've had a discussion with Peter Kelleher. And he said I should stand back for that, the plan change of item 10.
On the Lindis. Okay, thank you, dear. Thanks very much.
I leave the room at that point, I think. Is that what we do?
Yep. Any others? Thank you very much. We will come through when we're discussing the rules on conflict of interest, because it is more than financial interest. And I think people have to be very clear about this.
Do you want me to tell you what mine is?
No, not no. Right now, okay. But when we you can use it as an example,
yep.
When we're discussing that.
Cool.
Okay. public forum. Is there anybody in here wanting? No?
Oh, come on, Matt.
Confirmation of minutes. Can we have a look at the minutes of the 23rd of October, please? And I presume that you have all read them. Is there... What? Yes, Hilary.
So the status report on the resolutions of the council meeting...
Whoops. Which...
Is that part of this... It's part of the minutes, isn't it?
It's another item. It's not part of the minutes.
Oh,
the minutes are on page 4.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Okay.
Pull my head in.
Okay. Happy to move. Kate's moving. Adoption minutes seconded by Carmen.
Point of clarity on that.
Kevin?
On page, sorry, it's page 6 of my scroll, but it's on the voting where we voted for chairman.
Yep.
I believe that we actually voted for Councillor Robertson first and then Councillor Hobbs second. It's just the order of that.
Of how it's placed there?
Yeah. Because you probably wouldn't have had that
vote. Do you understand?
You wouldn't have done the second vote that.
Order of nomination questioning.
Yeah, he just wants to switch the order as it happened on the day.
As recorded.
When you get to the paragraph goes, Councillor Laws then withdrew,
correct.
And then you've got Councillor Hobbs and the people who voted for them, Councillor Robertson. I think Kevin is sort of saying switch it around.
Okay,
is that all right? Is that it? happy with the mover and seconder? Other than that, all those in favour of the minutes being accurate, say aye.
Aye.
And against, carries. Back to page four. Right, no, back to the agenda. So now we are up to actions, status of council resolutions. And I think this is just a noting. Any questions from any of these? Hilary?
My question is because I don't understand that the... That seems to be two separate lots of resolutions, namely the ones that were done the last trainium and the ones that were this trainium.
Yep.
And how I don't understand how the interaction is. I'd sort of quite like to see them as two separate things because I think they're...
Do you want to comment? Do you understand?
They're not separate.
So I think what I'm hearing is that you'd like to see some differential between the resolutions of the last trainium and this trainium. I think we could just colour code them. We have the dates, we could just in the future colour code them. So have a colour for the last triennium and one for this triennium. Would that make it simpler?
It's because I don't quite understand the status of some of the things that carry over in the end.
Yep.
Okay, I think they all carry over, unless you make a different decision. So.
But this isn't the time to make that decision.
No, that's right. Just before there's a whole process you have to go through to reverse a motion.
Thank you.
But some of these aren't... Sorry, some of these aren't in progress in the same sort of way. If you look at, for example, appointment of iwi representation, there was iwi representation made, done.
Yes. So that comes from the title of the item that went to council at the time, and the decision, for example, in that one, the decision was in two parts. Yes, there was the appointment of iwi that occurred at that time, but then there was another part of the resolution that talked about reviewing the MOU and the partnership protocol, and that's on a much longer time frame.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, let's...
Well, actually, I do have one, Madam Chair. When I look at 11.3, I noticed that motion was passed on the 15th of May. It's now about the 15th of November. That's 6 months. I find it staggering to think that there's been no progress on that issue in 6 months. And it hasn't been reported back to our council, the progress on that issue.
So there was we could probably refer to the minutes, but there was discussion on that item in terms of having a 6 month time frame over which we'd look at that. But what we can do is include it in the annual plan consultation, which would be the appropriate place to put that sort of consultation.
Well, then we need a little more information on the in progress column that's there. Because when it just says assigned operations, that's not telling me anything.
No, that's poisons.
That's right.
The other one is in progress governance.
Yes,
right. Sorry, in progress governance. Yeah, that's right. So we just need a little bit more information, perhaps, in there.
Okay, can we move on?
Yep.
Okay, so we're now up to the chairpersons and chief executives' reports. I just did a very small report, and in my normal style, and noted what we had coming up. I'm very conscious, people, and here's another day of it. We're still setting ourselves up, and I really want to get on with it.
Yeah.
I've been conscious that we've been fighting about how we do, not fighting, but... You know, discussing how we do things, dum da dum da dum da dum. I want to do things. Okay, so I hope this is the last day of this, with all due respect to everybody. Mm. Okay, I recommend that the council receives this report. I'm moving from the chair.
Seconded.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Mm. The next one is the, agenda, I'm just hitting. Chief Executive's report. Okay, open this up for discussion. Michael?
Thank you. Clause 20, Fish and Game Board meeting.
Mm.
Did you discuss with your meeting with Fish and Game the result of the Lindis?
No, because it wasn't out.
Okay, so there was... Okay, all right.
I have a small question. Yesterday, at our meeting, there was a discussion about... Somebody brought up two meetings that had been held. Somewhere I've got this in my head. Were those the two meetings that at Tapanui and at Waipahi?
Yes.
That you regarded as successful?
Yes.
And they are different from the past?
I think not necessarily different from the past, but I don't think they'd been conducted or approached in that way.
Okay.
In the past.
Okay, thank you. All right. Is this a noting one, by the way? Just a receiving one. Hilary?
Can I ask, since this was written, I understand that there's been a postponement of some of the RIT...
Getting
something
system.
In the paper about
25.
Yes. It's a very temporary postponement. I understand it's a postponement of perhaps a week or so, and that the launch of the website, which was supposed to have occurred, has not occurred, but that that's also a very temporary postponement.
The questions? No. Do you want to just focus on the submission that ORC made to the Resource Management Amendment Bill? Got any queries on any of that? It goes on for several pages.
Would you like me just to comment?
Would you like to comment? Yep.
If I could just comment that, as per my report to you in regards to the regional sector meeting with Minister Parker, he is open to further suggestions to amendments to the RMA within the scope of this bill that may assist with achieving freshwater outcomes.
Michael.
No, on the last part it says, if possible, ORC would welcome making an oral submission. I assume, Marianne, you'll be presenting that?
Yeah, I would
assume that.
Because
it would be more effective,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I pleasantly know this act. Okay. Did you offer, and as part of that, have they replied that they're going to hold oral submissions?
No, not at this stage.
Okay.
They may tour.
Yeah, they may sometimes. It just depends how fast they want to go through and what the other loads are on them, on the committee. The Environment Committee's just done a huge one on the zero carbon bill. Okay.
Madam Chair, can I just ask the Chief Executive a question with regards to the comment you just made about the Minister suggesting that... the RMA, some further feedback around RMA reform that may help enhance the freshwater outcomes. Is there anything else you can add to that to give a little bit more of a context?
As you'll be aware, there was significant detail in the 300 odd pages that were submitted by the sector through LGNZ on freshwater reform. As a part of that, the sector had previously written to the Minister early last year at his suggestion and suggested some statutory amendments that would effectively make the boat go faster in terms of making progress towards achieving freshwater objectives. He has taken up some of that. You can see that directly in the bill proposed. And I guess what he was saying is there anything else that, you know, we haven't thought of? Please, again, you know, make those suggestions.
Remember, there is a lot of time. We've just done, well, there's not, there's a year. We have just done, obviously done first reading, call for submissions. Now we've got committee hearings. A lot of water goes under the bridge in negotiation between now and second reading. Or, sorry, third reading.
Sorry, one other thing.
Yes.
I'm interested from both of you, actually, to get an update on where we are with the Skelton report. If there's been any progress on that issue.
On my point, I've heard nothing as yet.
I spoke to the Minister directly on Thursday, and he said to me, I will be in touch soon. And that was all I know. That's all I know.
Soon is the worst political word I know.
Yeah. he'd just been, he'd done 30 hours of flying when we met with him. He was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop making excuses for him.
No, he's got a lot on, obviously.
Turn it over then.
He did say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear people, can I move from the chair that this is... actually, I need to check the rules on that. I need a seconder that we receive this report. Thanks. Michael.
Sorry, has it been sent?
What?
Yes.
The submission.
So, not the...
What's been sent?
The submission on the RMO.
Yeah, it had to, because the closing date was the 7th of November.
Presumably the motion isn't that we will do something, it's that...
We're just receiving the report. That's all we're doing.
Yep.
Okay. So can we go then forward to the decision, the next part of the agenda, which is... the adoption of the decision-making structure. Okay, let's go in for this. How do we want to deal with this, people? Do we want to go through each part? We don't need the background. When we come to the council on clause 10, all the other stuff is fair enough, isn't it?
Yep.
So we come to the council, there's a chair and there's a deputy, and we meet monthly. People are happy with that. We move over. Notice we are moving. We're moving to meeting monthly, not 6 weekly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so sorry, that is different from how will that work cycle wise between committees and full council.
Because the committees, okay. Who's likely to answer that? Would you like to answer that?
Yeah, sure. So Liz is putting together an agenda, a meeting schedule, which would have a fortnightly. Engagements, so a monthly council meeting, and then on the alternate fortnight there would be a couple of committees. But what we were trying to set up was a day of meetings rather than 2 days of meetings, which would allow people to come and go in one day for those travelling. So it is a bit of a juggling act because you've got different, the committees meeting in different frequencies, but it is a work in progress.
Where did this fortnight connection come from? Is that something that's been discussed here at council, or is it something that's idea?
Sorry, it has been. I'll take ownership of that. The ownership is that I was trying to move up more meetings, council meetings, a year than we'd had before at 6 weekly. I was trying to move them to monthly because we've got a lot on our agenda.
Well, it sounds like it's 2 weeklies.
The 2 weeklies is the committees that report into the.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So alternatively, you could, if you only wanted to meet monthly, you could do committees and council, but you would just have a month lag, so just a sequencing thing.
I would have thought that maybe, a couple of options would have come up, because for example, the councillors from a distance away have to commute quite a, significant distance.
Okay.
And there'll be pros and cons, there'll be costs and outcomes.
Can I just answer this before we go much further? Not every committee is going to be meeting once a month. Some of them are 2 monthly meetings. Some of them are 4 times a year. So it is unlikely that a member will be coming in here, that every member will be coming into this place twice a month.
Yeah.
Michael and then...
Kate.
Kate. Thank you, Kate.
It would be very useful. I know this is... to have had the structure in front of us now. So, and I want to see that before the end of the meeting, please. I want to see what the meeting schedule looks like under this. Yeah, because then we can get a much better approximation of time. I come from Dunstan, so does Alexa and Gary. We've got massive travel involved during this period. A 450k round trip for me.
I won't be doing a day trip. I'll never be coming down in a day. I can't do that.
That's right. It just kills it's me. Just, and it's not safe in winter either, Alexa.
So I will be staying at least one night. But so I can do that privately.
I really am very keen on us having a much better idea of where this is. Now, it's not hard to produce that wiring diagram for 2020.
Yes, absolutely. And Liz will circulate it right now.
Great. Because that will give everybody here, I think, a better, particularly.
Look, I'm going to take some responsibility for this, Michael. I worked on this last week. First of all, I had to meet with every one of you. That was a week before. Then I met with you. Then I worked with the team here last week. And we still have not quite worked in where the portfolio action working groups fit into this. So this is very much a work in progress. Right. And I take responsibility. Not necessarily the staff on this. But I do want to... Yeah, Alexa?
No, it's Kate for a second.
Kate. Oh, sorry, Kate.
Sorry. I'm supportive of this because I think the more often we meet in the short term, the better, and I'm slightly frustrated seeing two items that have already been dealt with by staff, and I no criticism of them dealing with the staff, given the timeframes we've got, but I think the more often we can have some oversight over submissions and those sort of things, the better. So I welcome delegations which will require allow those to come to more frequent meetings, because I think it probably frustrates the staff that we talk about these things in hindsight and probably sound like we're critical. The other item I just want to ask a question on, if I could. While we're bedding this stuff in, and I've been concerned in the past that the representation, if people can't make meetings, and it happened last week, and again, no criticism, if we don't have alternates, I think we lose a huge amount of not only mana, but opportunity. And I'm just wondering, I will be proposing an amendment later, but I just want to put it out there. Is it a difficulty to have alternates appointed to relevant committees or positions in order to ensure that if we're meeting with, say, Connecting Dunedin, that we actually have three people around the table? Because I think if we only have one instead of, and they have three representatives, then that just shows a lack of respect. So, and I'd be seeking a report back for either December or January about that. I'm just wondering if that's a difficult, I would like to ask a question of that staff on that first before I put the motion up. Whether that would be difficult or have any issues.
I think that's entirely your choice.
Yeah. It's our choice.
Yep, no, that's cool.
And I think that we do it. okay.
I have emailed a copy of that proposed crafted straight to your email. Hopefully it's come through.
Thank you, Deb. I daren't go to it because I'll lose something else. Finance Committee. And we've got what its purpose is. We've got Hillary.
We've missed one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We started, yeah.
Gretchen.
Just talking on council, first of all, and timing, yep, okay, that's fine. Council includes decision, monitor and manage natural hazard risk. And I just, to me, and speaking with some other people, understanding that later on when we talk about the infrastructure committee, I'm not really sure about that one as a structure. To me, it's just one smallish tool of managing natural hazards, and to me, that should be one committee which looks at the actual issue, which is natural hazard risk, and infrastructure and how we deal with that is just part of that picture, because of adaptation and awareness of risk, and then also the strategies that we adopt as council possibly could either go through the strategy and policy committee to come up with a policy, or the infrastructure committee is not just infrastructure in my mind. Infrastructure is a small aspect of that particular theme. Yeah, and it doesn't make sense to me that that one's going through council either. So that's, I would propose either the infrastructure committee becomes natural hazards at full stop, or and infrastructure, or natural hazards goes through the policy and strategy one.
Are you suggesting, sorry Gretchen, got back onto the paragraph, are you suggesting a taking out from
yep.
council's purpose, monitor and manage natural hazard risks?
And transfer it to infrastructure.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, heard that. On this question.
On this question.
Is there any other questions on that?
Michael. Sorry, you might make the same observation around public transport. So that would seem to fit more appropriately with the transport committee.
Okay, people, can I just take a deep breath in on both those issues and say to you, it seems to me that the council, as a body, approves the work that comes up to it from committees, be the committees on natural hazards and natural hazard risks and on transport. This is the overarching body that approves those things, so of course it's going to talk of almost all our business.
Correct.
I can't, that's why I can't quite see that.
I'm not sure where natural hazards is coming from, apart from directly right, well, I to accept, council.
I accept yep. the part of maybe amending that committee on infrastructure to include natural risks and hazards there. On this topic?
I think it's on this topic, whatever the topic is.
Well, the topic
on,
is...
On that sentence,
all right.
I think, as a pedant, I wouldn't put in adoption of all committee recommendations, because I think we should be open to the possibility that we don't.
Consideration. Consideration of all committee recommendations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we amend that? Alexa, sorry.
It's okay. I just wanted to was back a bit.
Yes, sorry.
I totally support the fortnightly structure. How we work that out will be a bit tricky, but I really, really think that's ideal. And just to Michael's point about public transport, it is in the Regional Transport Committee,
but it
needs to come back. It needs to be full council, because that Regional Transport Committee is two regions. We need to have our own overview of it as well.
Thank you.
Kevin? So I understand, my understanding of this council is that this is the overarching statement that we're actually... The controller of the lot, and so some of the wording may not be 100% correct, but I'm assuming that everything from the committee actually does come back to council for consideration and or throwing out or adoption. So this is an overarching statement which we could put a lot more words in, but is that the tenor of the statement?
That is what I understood it to be.
Less words, that's right.
That is what, and I read it as such. It is a governing body for the Otago Regional Council, almost full stop.
Correct.
Yes, yeah.
Your words.
Okay. May we...
Just to confirm that co-chair and co-chair are happy for natural hazards to become part of infrastructure committee.
Can we deal with it as we get to that particular committee? Is that all right, Gary?
Oh, that's fine.
Yep. I just want to deal one committee at a time.
Yep.
So we've done council.
Yep.
Nobody else wants to speak? Okay, can we move now to, I've got to go back
strategy
to it, Strategy and Planning Committee. Okay, people who want to speak on that. Michael.
Wrong one.
Hillary.
I'd like to do two things. I'd like to, we have got some legal advice on iwi representation. I would like to see that not confidential to the council. I don't think any of the advice that we might be basing our decisions on needs to be, usually, just because lawyers' stuff comes out saying confidential. Is there a reason why?
The reason that I understand it is that you gave me this reason the other day, is that when we buy legal advice, it is a legal advice to us, not to the rest of the community who may use our legal advice against us.
I think my understanding from Paul, from Buddle Finlay,
what he was saying was that it was confidential to us because we'd bought it until and unless we made it unconfidential. That's not the right word, but...
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Would you like to comment? Anything further?
You can make a decision to waive privilege. Yeah. It's your decision to make.
What is the... Can I, just before Michael, can I ask a question then of several lawyers in the room? What is the risk of doing this?
Sorry, we pay people to give us that stuff. I'm not going to ever be the lawyer in the room. Sorry, that's not why I got elected.
All right, I accept that. It's just that somebody is quoting law at me, and I'm having one person quoting a legal opinion at me.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I'm in a difficult situation. Michael?
I do want to reinforce what Hilary said. We asked that question expressly at the induction, when the briefing, and the point was made, we can waive privilege on any legal opinion at any time if we make that as a decision. It's fairly obvious that we need to apply common sense principles here, and they are, is that advice likely to be used against us on, say, some matter of commercial sensitivity or Resource Management Act or something that may end up in court? That is an entirely different matter than us being provided advice on a policy issue which we will then deliberate upon. So I think it's a case-for-case basis. It's pretty clear. And on something like this, which is unlikely ever to arrive in the courts, this is just simply providing the advice that's been provided to counsel in exactly the same way that we do when we receive reports from counsel which contain advice on a number of policy matters and that are part of our natural agenda.
Okay, now I'm going to ask advice of people. Do you want to stop the process that we're doing now and take a vote on that issue right now, or do you want to wait until we get to the end of this particular paper? I'm willing and happy to put it to the vote. I'm not willing to, but I want to actually get through the different
people
committees.
People are happy about it. We can just do it now, can't we? I mean, they might not be. I'll move that we waive privilege for the report, the legal advice we have from Buddle Finlay concerning iwi representation.
And have you a seconder?
I'll second it, yeah.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favour, please. Sorry, Kevin.
I'm reasonably uncomfortable with that at this stage, and possibly that's because I am new on board. But each needs to be taken, I suppose, case by case. But in reality, we're given this. No one has requested this information. We actually haven't discussed the issue. I think we should wait till we discuss the issue before we decide whether we should actually release that information, because it may come out in our discussion that we've released it anyway. So I would, and I'd take that ongoing, that if we are letting legal opinions out there or waiving our privilege, we should be waiting to the end of our discussion on those matters, because all of a sudden at the end, close to the end of a matter, we may realise, well, actually, this needs to remain privileged. So not against what you're saying, but I'm just saying I think that the term, we should be waiting it.
Would the mover and seconder like to defer this until we have the discussion about
yes.
this?
Yes, I think that's a very smart idea.
Okay. Can we continue to move on this discussion on the Strategy and Planning Committee?
Madam Chair, how will the co-chairpersonship for this committee and others actually work? Do you have a mental picture of that, or are you going to leave it to...
I'm going to probably leave it to people to work out if they want to. Okay. But I'd have to say on this one, sorry, Michael, but I think I'll be chairing it most times, strategy and planning.
I'd be delighted for you to have extra work.
Yeah, thought so.
However, having said that, the agenda, the issue that rises out of this, Michael, is the agenda. Who's going to set the agenda for these meetings?
Ah.
And it's an issue that we haven't addressed as a council.
Okay.
And that is where the chairmanship becomes quite important, and who the co-chairs are, and how governors, i.e. all of us, manage to put something on the agenda.
I take that point very much so. I take that point very much so, and I would honestly like to see this as a work between, okay, both people involved.
Well, this is partly why I asked the question, Madam Chair, because I can see potential for embarrassing conflict in some of these co-chair relationships. And as a councillor who is not a co-chair, I don't want to be distracted by that kind of carry-on. I'd like clarity. I'd like definition. I'd like provisions made in the case of conflict between co-chairs. Maybe I'm dramatising this, but I'm just a tad nervous that if you put two people in charge of a decision-making body, that can have a profound influence on the decisions that are likely to be made.
Okay, can we, for this particular committee, can we say Marion Hobbs chair, Councillor Michael Laws co-chair, and we understand, even if we write it down here, that those two must be involved in setting the agenda and determining the agenda.
I'm very keen, though, Marion, on our 10 other
yep.
councillors having the opportunity to place something on an agenda, particularly other oh. than simply the co-chairs.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Standing orders.
Yeah. So as long as that's understood.
Absolutely. Kate, can I suggest something to you? All I sometimes see is a slim grey pencil. Can you do a dance?
You need stronger glasses. I'm supportive of this. The question I have for the chair is, I presume that this is the beginning of the process to see if the groupings work, and then there'll be terms of reference that underpin this
yes.
and how they work. And yes. that will actually involve some of the chairs talking to each other yep. and making sure that the system works, and it may be alternate chairs for meetings and things like that.
Yep.
Is that yeah? So this is only the first paper.
That's
there'll
my
be
understanding.
The terms of reference afterwards. And okay, I've got that correct. Thank you. I've one question about this particular committee, and it comes down to the very important involvement of iwi. And I am absolutely happy with the leadership as long as what I think will be the vote round this table is respected and not undermined by comments outside of this, outside of the committee or elsewhere, that does not undermine the leadership and the respect that gives to iwi. And that is the only issue I've got, and I'm sure that both the chairs will happily and confidently tell me that I should have nothing to worry about.
I'm not going to make a comment like that. I think that is a comment that you're sort of saying this is what you wish for all of us, which is kind of what we discussed yesterday.
Sorry, this is about this particular committee having
yes.
iwi representative
yes.
representation on it, that we need to ensure that that is something that's acknowledged and accepted and acceptable to the chairs, because if there is any niggles there, then actually that makes the structure of this committee awkward.
Okay. You're saying you want now to place the vote about iwi representation?
No.
No, because I'm not getting you.
I want the chairs to be very clear that they respect that position.
Okay.
Chairs have a responsibility, as I understand it, to implement the decision of the council.
Yes. Yeah.
End story.
Yeah. Okay. Are people happy with the purpose and the membership? Sorry, darling. Yes, you do.
I'm my dance.
I'm having
there's a lack of looking to the right. That's been a lifelong problem.
Well done, Gretchen.
So I was just wanting to ask the question. It just actually occurs to me, about the part of science, and it might just be the way that it's worded, but we haven't really got a committee that deals with science at all.
Oh, okay.
And so this one monitors performance against strategic direction, develop and recommends to council strategies, policies and plans. But and I guess you could interpret science as developing a strategy, but it isn't always. Sometimes it's just, you know, for our information, here's the latest state of environment report. It's not, yeah. It'd be good if it always led to a strategic outcome, but it doesn't always. Sometimes you just get information. Yeah.
So I'm not sure where that's sitting would be a question. Maybe you've thought of that.
This is what I thought, and I'm willing for Amanda to make some comment about this. At one stage, I thought all this work was going to be done at council level. Okay, and all that work in my head has been the plans, the water plans, the regional plans, the regional policy statements, all that work. And I saw that going to at council level when I realised that, no, we actually needed time to sit and argue, which you don't get at one council meeting. So we had to have a dedicated group. But in the making of those plans, okay, at regional level or strategies, sorry, use the right word, then that actually must involve science to reach those conclusions. And I'm presuming that is the work we do at workshops. That's the presumption I'm making.
Yes,
I think to you,
it wasn't specifically outlined on the basis that science enables all of those policy plans and strategies to come. So it's a fundamental part of what will be coming through the strategy and policy, strategy and planning committee. But in terms of additional, state of the environment reporting, that would still come up. It could come through this committee or it could come directly to council. What the preference was.
Sorry, could I please speak?
Yes.
Sorry. I think it's really important that it does come through a committee. It's not just about us, it's about the public receiving information transparently, and science is really crucial in that. That it's not just about us. If we have it only in workshop and then it only goes towards, if it's important enough to create policy, that's when the public might see it. I don't think that's fair. I think it needs to be worded that it comes through this committee.
What, have you got any words that you'd like to put in there, Gretchen?
Perhaps even the title of the committee, Science, Strategy and Planning Committee. And...
Got to hold that on the table at the moment, Kevin.
I see science as the tool that we use in every committee. It's really should it be, I'd put mathematics in the first one as well, because we're going to have to do a wee bit of number crunching as well. And that's a tool. I'd expect science to appear in everything we're actually doing, and so that would go right down to the very bottom level. The portfolio action working groups as well. So then we'd have science reports available to everyone right through.
Hilary, Michael,
Alexa,
and
darling number six.
Yeah. Okay, Brian. Thank you, Hilary.
This actually reads to me like the A part of council. It's not really a subcommittee. It's a side-by-side committee with council doing the bulk of council sort of thinking, I think. I mean, what we're here to do is strategy and planning. For that reason, I don't support iwi representation at this level, because I think where it's going to be treated as if it's a council decision. I've looked back and seen all the committees decisions being adopted, bang, 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 by the council, and this one particularly will be, because it is like a council meeting. You chose to put it separately for other reasons, but that's the bulk of our duties and responsibilities and obligations. And I'm just not comfortable with where voting rights on that committee that will behave like a council committee, because it's even treated, people say things like, it's a committee of the whole. It isn't a committee of the whole, it's a thing that has other people on it. And usually we're not allowed to have other people on council because they haven't been chosen by the people to be on council. And this is a quasi-council meeting, this one, because when anything comes out of it and to council, it will not be relitigated in any normal sense. I mean, it's a possibility, but it won't be. I don't know. Part of the reason why I wanted to have the legal advice sort of out there and available is it because it has advice on what things you could do that would control in some respects or moderate or clarify people's contributions and their responsibilities if they are these representatives or how we formulate them. But I just, I can't personally support it in that form. I think we could change it by saying for it, and it wouldn't need a whole tweak, whole big thing. We could change the standing orders to say, for example, that at the strategy planning science, whatever we're calling it, meeting, any votes had to be voted on by a majority of the councillors present. You know, that it doesn't pass unless the majority of the councillors present voted for it, which would completely achieve, for me, what it would amount to. That almost everything wouldn't come down to a vote, and much and things that came to votes would be unlikely to be even, but if we it would only mean that those two iwi votes would not be the thing that passed something that the elected representatives would not have passed. So you can change the standing orders to completely achieve what I would be completely comfortable with, but I'm not comfortable with it.
Now, from the Chair, we have two issues on. We have the inclusion of science in the title. We now have iwi representation.
Yep.
I have an order of speakers. Michael, Alexa, Brian.
Can we talk, Madam Chair, with respect, can we talk about one issue at a...
Sorry.
That was sprung from me. I thought we were. I'm going to have to get some...
I disagree with everything that's just been said. Absolutely everything. But I want to go back to the topic, which I thought was, where does science fit in this?
Yep.
And that's a really important thing to resolve before we go off onto other rambles. I totally agree with Councillor Robinson that science should be included in the definition and the portfolio of the Strategy and Planning Committee, and it should be spelt out as such. That would give it the prominence it needs to have and that we all need to give it. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Alexa.
I completely agree with Michael on both topics, but the first on science, our lack of data that we all know that we have and we all agree that we need a whole pile more science, it means that it has become a focus of council rather than purely a tool. And it's become a focus because we now need it in a degree that we previously haven't been able to deliver. And just to counter Kevin's view on that, maths, we don't need to have that focus on maths right now. We don't have a huge lack of it. That may become available some other time, but right now I think that science totally supports it.
Brian.
Yeah, look, I agree with the previous two speakers and Councillor Robinson. I mean, science has actually been a bit of a weakness at this table, and it's been a bit of a weakness nationally, I think, is basically what we're finding out. And it certainly needs some type of mechanism to come to the table. It's not like maths at all. I can't see any type of connection there. We actually need to know what the data is. We need to know what the state of the environment is. We need to know what the issues are at a strategic level. Then we can set strategy to address them, for goodness sake. It's pretty basic. So I support Councillor Robinson on that. I think I'm not going to comment on the EWE because I think at some point we need to debate this and put this to bed, this issue, because it is starting to linger, and I look forward to that separate debate. Thank you.
Michael, on which issue, the science issue or the iwi issue?
Oh, but I mean...
Can we have one or the other? Because I want to resolve the science to the iwi one.
Let's deal with the science first. It's really simple. I think Gretchen's raised a really good point. Where does it go? It should actually end up in strategy and policy, in my view. And that we should just make a sum of words that includes strategy and policy, Marion, in it, or that science and environmental monitoring is part of the purpose of that particular committee. It's fundamental and critical to what we do as a council over the next 3 years, it needs a clearinghouse, and that clearinghouse should most obviously be strategy and policy. So the other thing about environmental monitoring, just for new councillors, is that we have had a tendency in the past to just, and in fact my colleagues will remember, simply having this huge environmental monitoring put on the table, and then it will just move on, thanks very much, and it noted it. What we're trying to do is integrate that into every policy decision that we make. So just because it's in strategy and policy, it doesn't mean to say that it won't also crop up in other committees as part of the operational procedure. Is that right, Richard?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said.
Can I suggest then from the Chair, if you look at the 11, Purpose, Assist the Council, Monitor Performance, Develop and Recommend to Council Strategies, Policies and Plans, comma, informed by science. And go
sometimes
on from there.
Sometimes it's just science is my point, and that's okay. As well. Doesn't always end up in a policy or strategy.
You want us to ask the scientists? Yes. Scientists, please.
They're nodding their heads.
I don't know if this is helpful, but I guess I was going to propose under the terms of reference that there was a list of responsibilities for this committee, and that that included oversight of the environmental monitoring and science that is developed to go into the strategy and policy.
You're going
to
put that into terms of reference?
So we can put, as part of the terms of reference. Yeah. So this is just a purpose statement. I'd started up a list to talk to the chairs about in terms of responsibilities. So I'm happy to include informed by science in the purpose statement and also include in terms of responsibilities for the committee as one of the dot points in terms of statement around the oversight of the environment data, environmental monitoring data and science development of.
So if I've got some clarity, we're willing to put an informed by science into the purpose, but there is further clarification about the use of science.
Because we're still yet to develop the terms of reference.
In the terms of reference
full
for the committee.
Terms of reference.
Gretchen, would that be...
No, that's got it. That's referencing science. Great. Yep.
Brian?
We could say a lot of these committees need to be informed by science. I would actually like it to actually be a vehicle for actually... in some instances, saying what the science information is. So, a vehicle for actually seeing the state of the environment report and such like, as opposed to that, discussing strategy and saying, oh, well, it's been informed by science. I'd actually like to see the science brought to the front seat and a stronger word than informed, it's a present. I'd like also the ability to present science.
Right, we've got another word.
The word we use is evidence-based. I don't know if it's the building of the evidence. I don't know if you want to build in, but it's up to you if you want another word.
Present science.
So I was trying to say was in what I was going to propose under the full terms of reference is to have one of the responsibilities will be in terms of there will be the environmental data and science will come to the committee as part of their responsibility oversight of the environmental monitoring data and science that backs
presentation
and supports
of science.
The
I
science.
Expect some presentation of science. Thank you.
Yep.
Sorry, that's in the terms of reference.
Correct.
Which is yet to be under development.
Okay, so we've reached agreement on that. Now can we go back to the point that Hilary made and that Brian said, and I tend to agree, let's actually have this debate about EWI representation and this be the last time.
Would you like me to move number three?
Yes, please.
So if I move happily three of the recommendation that approve the proposed membership of the committee.
Sorry,
it's not three, it's four. On page 25, approves an invitation being presented to EWI representatives to join the Strategy and Planning Committee. I'm happy to move that if that enables that debate.
Okay. So that...
On the presumption we adopt this.
We adopt this...
Yeah.
And there's that follow-up thing, and if we make our debate on that follow-up action, which is that we're inviting them because we've adopted it. Does that make sense, people? Okay, any discussion? We've had Hilary, and by the way, I know we haven't got to standing orders yet, but can we confine ourselves to talking once on an issue? I'm going to get stricter.
Yep. Would you like me to speak to it?
Yes, I'd love you to speak to it.
I'm happy to move this motion. While we've got legal advice about this, I think the legal context is much broader than that
just in the advice that we've sought. The idea of the RMA reforms of the 2017, which ensured that there was a expectation of informal as well as mana whakahono relationships, gives me some certainty that this is a direction that all councils should go at. The fact that we're doing this in an informal manner is actually quite exciting because it's a lot cheaper for us, apart from anything else in the first rights. But I have had the privilege, and it's one of the highlights of my 12 years on the Dunedin City Council, to be part of the Māori Participation Working Party, and it is something that has, I acknowledge, as being one of the best things that I've been part of. And I think the relationship and the opportunities working with much more closely and working with iwi setting strategy and policy actually makes it a much easier process for not only us as a council, but also for the ratepayers and residents of this province to ensure that that collaboration is much better and a much more seamless process for them. It actually saves them having to consult independently often. So I'm very happy to see that this structure is adopted, and I will be supporting it because of that. It is only a one situation.
Thank you, Kate. Who was it seconded by? Michael?
I wasn't planning to speak because I'm confident that the majority of the council will see this as a continuation of a very successful venture by the previous council. What makes me nervous is the prospect that, as happened last time when we had this proposition in front of us, I'm going to receive over 100 emails from Hobson's Choice, or whatever they're called, Hobson's Pledge, which will accuse me of being racist and anti-democratic, and I could rave on, but I did that on national radio last time, so I won't bore anybody again. That is the only negative that's in the back of my mind about this proposition. I am positive about the effect on the council, on our decision making, on our relationships, on the strengthening of our mana to mana committee. I agree with Councillor Kate. That experience, roughly parallel to yours, I think has been one of the most satisfying I've had as a councillor here at ORC. The input that the iwi made last time to our decision making was positive and thoughtful and expert. I look forward to it again. I have no problems with this whatsoever. It's all good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further speakers? Brian?
Yeah, just like to support the previous two speakers. I had the privilege to also be, you know, in the past term and experience firsthand a positive working relationship with iwi on a committee where they had voting rights, and I emphasise that the voting rights are at committee, and there's a following council where we revert back to the status quo arrangement, and I think it works really well. An important topic for this council, our community, and for iwi. We've all got significant stakes in it, and we've all both been doing significant thinking, and I think the outcome is really positive. These are our treaty partners, and we have various treaty obligations, and it's great to be able to fulfil those in this type of setting. Thank you.
Further comments? Whoops, they're going up. Michael, Gretchen, Andrew, Gary.
I don't intend to traverse this debate. Again, my views on this are well known. But I do want to point out the logical inconsistency of what is being proposed here and upbraid this council for not really taking its responsibility seriously. Here goes. The involvement of Māori in decision-making, particularly in local government decision-making, is something that has been for many decades, and certainly I encountered it when I was mayor, problematic for local government because many Māori feel disenfranchised or disassociated from local government in general. And as a result of that, councils have been trying to find ways in which to increase Māori participation. And that has found its expression in other regional councils in particular, a couple that I'm aware of anyhow. Bay of Plenty being obviously the leader, in separate Māori wards. Now, the key thing here for folk is that the Local Government Act makes it very clear that we have a responsibility to Māori. And what you are being asked to do is appoint iwi. And they ain't the same thing. Māori is every Māori who is resident within the wider reaches of the Otago Regional Council. Iwi is representative of only one group that is here. Admittedly, they're tangata whenua, but they do not represent all Māori and have no interest or intent to do so. For new councillors, I gave the old councillors this message last time, and that was this. When I was mayor of Whanganui, I tried to establish a Māori committee, and it was actively resisted by tangata whenua on the basis that they wanted the privilege of being the only and sole Māori representative. Unfortunately, that was ultra vires of the Act, which is that we increased Māori participation, not iwi participation. I am all for, Kate, having a much greater involvement and connection with Māori in the Otago region. But this ain't it. I then want to point out a serious political problem that could evolve, and it's this. Let's use a hypothetical, but a hypothetical that was something that we confronted at the last council. And it was related to minimum flows, if you remember rightly, in the priority catchments, Manukere, Cadrona and Arrow. That became a very terse issue. It was probably the defining issue of the last council in many ways. But if that had been decided, that particular issue, on the votes of two iwi representatives who were non-resident in those particular catchments, I can't imagine the damage that that may have caused. And I think that would have been also manifestly unfair to the iwi representatives as well. Then the corollary of that, and this is how insincere we really are, the corollary of this is, okay, we'll let them have the iwi representatives and they can have voting rights on strategy and policy. But it's okay, guys, we can overturn that decision when it goes to full council, when they're not there. Can you imagine the damage that that will cause also? If in a close vote that was decided by the iwi votes, we then overturn that decision because iwi weren't sitting around the table. This is not the way to do it. I would love to see us have a much greater involvement with Māori. And I think we should intellectually exercise ourselves to that end. But I do not believe that this is anything other than a simple gesture that it will have serious political problems down the line, or has the potential to be so, and will bring opprobrium on a party that doesn't deserve that opprobrium. And finally, whatever my particular views are on the treaty, we are responsible for enacting its principles. But again, the treaty doesn't say anything about iwi. The relationship is between Māori and the Crown.
Next speaker is Gretchen.
Thank you. Okay,
well, we made a commitment. We've made a commitment throughout the history of the council for partnership, with tangata whenua and locally with iwi. And through the last triennium, we strengthened that significantly. We spoke about ways that iwi, who are tangata whenua in this area, wanted to see that happen, and they suggested ways that would satisfy truly partnership with us. Two members on a policy type committee was what was suggested. We at that time said, would you think perhaps, things could be overturned when they got to council? No, they wanted two members on the policy committee. It worked really, really well, and as I said at Otago, I felt it was a true gift to this council, the amount of knowledge that came through that committee and the respect and the relationship that was developed You couldn't put a value on that. It was one of the most satisfying things I saw happen last triennium. Very proud of that. To say that the two iwi representatives do not live in the areas of Otago that we manage is absolutely disrespectful and unacceptable, given that actually some of these people do live in the area. For example, David Higgins, whose family came from the reserve at Hawea, and local iwi have deep roots throughout the region. So we can't, I can't deal with that one. And what else have we got? Okay, another thing was, okay, I believe local government and the Local Government Act has an ability for us to appoint whoever we want to our committees and delegate to them whatever we'd like, really.
Good point.
And I tried to put forward, actually, that for subcommittees, wouldn't it be fantastic to have one on catchments, where leaders from various catchments groups could come forward. They might be farmers, they might be academics, they might be urban catchments, and could form a subcommittee. So I think we should stretch our minds to rather no to letting people through and come and be sit around this table, yes to putting people around the table that can significantly add value to this council. And I see this as one way that we can do that. Thank you for the chance to speak.
Andrew.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm going to support this motion. I'm not sure what we're afraid of. I feel that, you know, we've had a good, strong working relationship with iwi. I can only see that being enhanced if we continue on with members being involved or two members being involved in the strategy and policy and maybe science committee. Yeah, so I just feel there's an opportunity to continue that relationship, enhance that relationship. The argument about the relationship should be with Māori versus iwi, I don't think this is the forum to try and ascertain what is right and wrong. I believe that there's adequate provision within the Local Government Act and the RMA to go down the path that the motion takes us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay, yes, I have a differing view, and mine's a bit more broad because what I want to talk about is, fair enough, is iwi is the proposal here. It's unelected members, full stop, so it goes up a level. Challenged quite strongly through my election campaign, where did I stand, and I have a very strong view on it around the democratic process and suffering through an election to sit at this table. When it comes to iwi, and full respect for iwi, and of course council has an obligation to engage with iwi, and I fully support that. And I believe it has the ability to afford all sorts of rights or privileges or other opportunities that aren't available to anybody else. So council could choose to have iwi influencing or sitting within workshops that you would not afford to anybody else, and I would support that. I think council has many ways that iwi can feel heard, engaged with, and that would be very different to what other groups is on the table for. There was real community concern and raised with me many, many times across my catchments, and my catchments are or electorate is very water associated, that the involvement of iwi wasn't actually about iwi, it was about bolstering numbers to try and move through council's own position on varying catchment decisions, and it created a great level of distrust with this council, and this council has a lot of work to do to rebuild that. So I believe there are many ways that we can involve iwi and meet our obligations. The thought that we might bring a farmer in to be involved with a catchment discussion, to me, I would hate to think who that farmer would be, and for them to come in and speak for an entire catchment and run the risk of maybe skewing where that catchment might be believing. There aren't people out there, I believe, who can come and speak to council like that. So, my view is very strongly that this is about unelected members, and I won't be supporting the position.
Thank you, Gary. Alexa?
I've got a few things to say, just 3 points, but this, firstly, this is not our only engagement potential. There are many other potentials. This is one that is right throughout the country as an accepted way of doing that. Secondly, I don't agree with any issues around fallout of overturning an iwi a decision that perhaps is influenced by iwi. We definitely have the possibility to relitigate anything around the council table if we're not happy. And practically, we won't usually do that. It'd be unusual. But if needed, it is a backstop that we have that is really helpful. And thirdly, unelected members. Gary, I wonder if you'd take off some of the unelected members from the Regional Transport Committee, which we have unelected members on, because they bring an expertise and a partnership that we require around that committee, because that is also a partnership that is legal.
Because that was a comment directed to Gary, you have it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is that right? Right. Do you want to ask a question?
Yes, please. I'd actually like to respond to it because the question was asked.
Yes, I understand that. I'm giving you the right to.
Thank you. There are specific committees that council are involved in, audit and risk, regional transport, requiring very specific skills and expertise that might not be sitting around the table. And, of course, that is important to have involved in those committees. And audit and risk especially is one that, for continuity, given we're a three-year term and no one knows whether they're going to be re-elected, very, very important that there is those skills available. And I think the same would apply to...
As is this is skills that we bring.
Not the point. Don't take off. Either of you, Carmen.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to thank Mrs Gardner very much for the information she provided on iwi. Last triennium, we had a very gentle relationship with iwi. We learnt a lot. We were respectful. They were respectful to us, and I enjoy, and I'm looking forward to working with them again, and I do support the motion. Thank you.
Kevin, did you want to speak? Anybody else?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Kevin.
We, as a council, we have a commitment that clearly we probably haven't done in the past, and that's probably why we're putting these people, or suggesting to put these people on this committee. We have a clear commitment under the RMA to... to listen to iwi, to Maori issues, and to respect their way of life, and ensure that we are considering them in all those decisions. So this, to me, that is about doing our job correctly. It's exceptionally good, and I think you'll understand from my meeting, from the meeting we had at Otago Marae, and my presentation when I first started here, that what the local iwi, the part they play in our community is exceptionally important to me. But they have the opportunity as standing themselves to be an elected member and being part of this council. And I believe that that is their vehicle to get voting rights. I have no issue with them being a partner on this committee, but I firmly believe that they don't, that does not warrant that they have a voting committee. Voting rights. If we look at my area, the Waitaki, with the biggest Tongan community outside of, well, per capita in New Zealand, we've got an exceptionally strong Chinese community within Dunedin. We've got 50 different ethnicities within the Waitaki district. So, I mean, just where does this actually lead to? I think we need to honour the RMA, and legally we have to honour the RMA, but that should be done by doing our job correctly.
There being no further speakers, I want to make a comment myself, if it's acceptable from the Chair. First of all, I want to deal with iwi Māori. It's been... I can't remember how many years, 1840, 160, 180 years, hasn't it been, since the signing of the treaty. That treaty was then taken around the country and signed by iwi. Iwi has been asked for as a method of governance within Māori, and they have developed it. All our treaty settlements are with iwi. There is an iwi leadership group that was very important during the last government. So the whole notion of Māori iwi, I think, clouds the issue. We are a governance body, and we are working with another governance body. To talk about it as some just any old farmer coming on here, I would hope that if any old farmer came on, they came on from Federated Farmers or a likely group. Iwi, whenever I have worked with them on any group, normally vote in, select, and have reports going backwards and forwards. I know this because at Orokanui, when we're asking to bring in Tieki, we work with the iwi as to which birds come in and whether they trust us to actually look after them and don't let stoats them. So I have great faith in the iwi as a mechanism for honouring the treaty, something I strongly believe in, because it is through the iwi that we have that relationship. If we talk about distrust, I'm not Māori. Dear God, the more I learn, though, what reason have they ever to trust us unless we actually extend the arm and say, your partners, enough said. There being no further discussion.
Right of reply?
Right of reply?
Thank you. Kia ora. I am disappointed to hear that the people think there's a division between iwi and Māori. If I stood as a Māori, I would be representing whoever voted for me or the voice that I gave as I went out and as you did, Gary, saying what you thought. Representing iwi is a torturously hard job. It's completely different. Iwi comes with whenua. It comes with the land. That is why it's mana whenua who be a representative and why that's through iwi. It isn't Māori, which is quite different. So Māori, in their version of my understanding of the Treaty of Waitangi, and it's very, and there will be people around this room who understand it better, my understanding of Māori is that it goes with the land, and that is represented by iwi. It isn't general Māori. And so in that way, we have to say, how can we best get that and most effectively and efficiently do that? That is with iwi. Iwi is very different from representing Māori, and it's also very, it's a statutory requirement under the Treaty of Waitangi and embedded in every other act since, in recent times, that we need to give meaning to the Treaty of Waitangi. If we can't do that around this table and realise that the world has changed, I am very sad. For those who've had experience of that, and we've heard around this table of people who have, it has always been a productive relationship when it's with iwi. So I'm going to ask, and please really consider whether this should be a unanimous vote and be a mark in the sand that this is the way we now have to and should be acting. I'm asking everyone, please reconsider your votes and vote for this and show the mana that we should be giving to iwi.
Okay, could you read the motion again, please?
Yes.
The motion was, it was number 4 on page 25. There's no note down,
yep.
So let me, I don't have that in front of me.
So oh, sorry.
If you go to page 25 of the agenda.
Would you like me to?
Yes, could you read it, Deb, please?
Approves an invitation being extended to iwi representatives to join the Strategy and Planning Committee with full voting rights.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
No.
Yes.
No. Yes, division. And that I went by hands? Okay. All those in favour, please raise a hand. Just one hand.
Can you see mine?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Sorry, you were such a plot one. 8. And those against, please raise a hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare the motion carried. Thank you for I'm not going to say a good debate, but a reasoned debate. All right?
Chair, could I just make a quick... I know this is
on
the agenda. But something Councillor Michael said really appealed to me in the course of that debate. And that was... And I've forgotten the details, Michael, sorry. But you did ask us to put our intellectual energy into the development of, I think, an increasing likelihood that we would have elected Māori representation on this council. And that's something I would love to see happen, and I'd like to be a part of that. I know in the past, because I've been here a very long time, that we have had candidates put themselves forward who have represented Ngāi Tahu. And on one occasion at least, that person came very close to being elected, but it didn't work. I think we could, as a council, do exactly what Michael suggested, and in the course of the next 2.5 years, put some rigour into that to see if we can increase the likelihood of having people at this table who are on every committee and on the council, and who are part of us, who represent our partners.
Michael, just when we come to portfolio groups, there's one that's got iwi, engagement, and strangely emergency management. I don't know how I managed to do that, but never mind. And I think that any work starts coming out of that group.
Yeah, cool. That's good. I don't know whether I'm on that group or not, but I'd like to.
Okay, good. People.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Can I just make a comment too? Because there was just in response to the comment by Councillor Wilf, were you allowed the comment?
Yeah, go on, sweetheart. I've said go on.
Okay. And I'd just like to respond to it in that we've just come through an election campaign. We are very new, and we were forced to make positions through that election campaign that I believe we have to abide by. So while I fully am sympathetic to the challenge and request by Councillor Wilson, my position has been that I declared publicly prior where I stood, and I believe to those people I need to stand by that.
And so did I. Okay. So I accept that. Michael?
Can I, in a spirit of cooperation and moving forward, can I suggest that we, thank you, Michael, that we pick up that and that I move that, and I'm happy to chair this committee or this working party, and Kate might like to be on it as well, that we look at ways of increasing Māori in our decision-making of this council. And by that, I don't mean necessarily putting people around a table. I mean encouraging candidates to stand at elections and things like that. Can I also just... I don't want to do this, Marion, but I've just got to. The Māori wards are not iwi-based, Kate. They're on the Māori electoral roll. So if we ever did go down that line, they have to be all Māori who are resident within the area, not iwi.
Okay.
But I've been happy to... bring a paper to the next committee round, and if I could work with Michael and perhaps Kate in looking at doing that, that might advance this
issue. Very good.
Okay, darlings, it is 10:25. Yeah. I would like to get through this paper before we broke for morning tea.
Oh, yeah,
let's go.
Come on, tea.
I would happily move the other parts of the motion if you. Yep. Plus an amendment.
In the spirit of
what are you talking about?
I will happily move 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
And one other, if that helps you to proceed.
What's the other?
So this is on the recommendation part.
Yes.
It receives a report, adopts it. Right. Yep. And 5. And one other? What was the one other?
The one other was that council consider appointment of alternates where appropriate for committees at the December meeting. So that is that issue of mana, of having good representation. We know that Michael got sick last week. No one could attend. I would rather that there was an alternate appointed that can pick up the pieces if things can't happen.
Totally agree.
And so that's why that's
it. Okay. Michael, Gretchen.
Move a motion to that.
She's moved it, and it's been seconded by Michael. Yes. Gretchen.
I think I raised this matter, but to do with objections and appointments committees.
Oh, you did, love. Sorry.
So, particularly the objections committee is actually a hearings panel. So they actually, and it's an RMA hearing. So they actually have to be commissioners. Mm-hmm. So we need to have on objections subcommittee Councillor Noon, Scott, Robertson, and Wilson. And they're quite significant sometimes, the objections. For example, we just had Robert Bohr stand term of consent. You just have to be a commissioner is that one. And the appointments subcommittee as well, I think it would be beneficial because you need to understand RMA and hearings and also history of previous consents and other hearings is quite important at times to consider the makeup of that subcommittee too. Normally it's hearings commissioners as well on that one.
Okay, can I just go through this in a certain sense? I heard that and I actually had it down in my notes that you'd raised it with me. I'm presuming that these councillors, Kevin, Carmen, Hillary, might want to undertake the course necessary to become commissioners.
Yes, should be offered to all councillors.
As I mentioned to you,
yeah.
That's really fantastic, and I think it would be great if everybody did that. We have a backlog of objections which are coming through, and the course is only scheduled every so often. It's also really rigorous, and we've actually had councillors fail, unfortunately, to attain these. It's quite a big deal. So I would suggest that we do appoint existing commissioners for that reason.
Good.
Yep.
Kate?
So add that you cannot just go straight to chair's accreditation. You actually have to be a commissioner before you do the chair's accreditation, which makes the chairmanship of those hearings panels. While it's not a requirement, it's a highly desirable, and it's much better to have done that. And it gives... to have a chair of the committees, you may want to ensure that you've got those endorsements, and that I don't think is in there.
Michael?
Two things, and I want to move an amendment to the recommendations. An additional item. I don't know what the Objections Committee does, and I've been sitting around here for 3 years. I would really... So I'm a bit sort of... Do you know, Carmen?
No, to be fair, I think it's the first time I've actually seen it, and I could correct me if I'm wrong on this triennium, but what I would like to say, if you don't mind, through the chairman... Mm-hmm. I felt quite uncomfortable being on this, knowing I haven't done that training, knowing that we have your skills, Gretchen, and your skills, Kate, and Councillor Noon, and whoever else, and I don't, Scott, my apologies. So I would gently, in ladylike fashion, quite happily come off that, if that's all right, and have my skills attributed other places.
If you wouldn't do it any other way.
Okay.
To the Dame of Drains or something like that.
Hilary.
Just... a brief thing, and I don't know how these things interact at this point, but there was a suggestion, I think, by yourself, darling, that we wouldn't... It might be advisable not to have our in-house people as commissioners. If we resolved, or as a matter of practice, didn't have our in-house councillors as commissioners, then it would be more appropriate to have them perhaps on the Objections Committee, if it works how I imagine it works, but I could be wrong.
Would you like me to tell you how
it works? Yes, please.
Tell us about the Objections Committee and what comes
up. If you receive a consent and it has a decision in terms of the time period, so you might get a 35-year consent, you might get a 5-year consent, and you're unhappy, you have the avenue to come back and question that through the Objections Committee. Also cost, so the cost that the council charged you for that consent, you can question that as well. And we hold a hearing in the same manner as you would for any other hearing to you know, look at those things. Is there anything else I've missed that people can object to?
There's a quick question I want to ask. So it's only members of the Objections Committee, and normally they are commissioners.
Sit on those.
No other commissioner from outside comes onto this committee.
No, because they're relatively smallish, restricted discretion of what you can consider under an objection.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the next question, I'm sorry, Brian, for a minute.
Accredited.
The next thing I need to know is, how often do these things meet?
That's the question.
Previously, we met very seldomly, except after the consent review, we figured out that there's a backlog of objections, quite a lot of them, like 20, that we're working through. So we have been meeting reasonably frequently.
Like once a month, twice a month?
Probably about that.
Okay. And would you have all It was one, two, three. Who was the fourth person?
Yeah, usually you would have all four, but, you know, someone might be away, and three's a quite a good number. Usually someone will be unavailable.
Okay.
And it's a good way, as you suggested, I think, Councillor Calvert, that people who are accredited can get reasonably simple hearings, but can maintain their, skills. And having independent commissioners coming in is kind of unnecessary for the scale of the issue.
I'm sorry, people, I'm doing this almost out of standing orders, but the problem that I had with this is that we have four.
Five.
Are you a commissioner?
Yep.
Oh, cracker.
Sorry, yeah.
Well, five.
That was my question.
You excluded
me. No, it was me, darling. Oh, no, she does. When, so that's five. Yeah, so the commissioner appointments, the commissioner appointments committee is okay. That is all commissioners.
Great.
It's only the objections committee. Now, what I would...
You could have the commissioner appointments subcommittee appointing people to the objections, possibly, as a... Yeah.
Yeah.
You could reverse the committees.
You could blend them.
Yeah.
You could blend them.
Merge them.
Merge
them.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So I think we're going to merge the objections and the commissioner appointments committee.
Yeah, that's an idea.
And then that gives a chance for people who haven't been, who are not commissioners and who want to be, to start to get involved and chain up. Michael.
Does that mean Gary goes on and replaces Carmen then in the membership, and we need to note that?
No, we're going to actually meld objections and commissioner appointment subcommittee into one committee. And Carmen, you can choose whether you're a member of that or not. And if you don't want to be, don't have to be.
I prefer to come off.
That's fabulous, love.
Is that okay? That's beautiful.
You don't need all of them to be part of the subcommittee either. You can just have three or four people that determine who is on the...
Well, I'm going to leave you those two committees to meet together.
And resolve those issues.
And sort out those issues, both of membership and chairing.
I have an additional motion.
Yes, sir.
After we pass these, that the committee structure of the ORC, including the membership of committees and groups, be reviewed within 6 months.
Oh, good. Okay.
Really need to know if this is going to bed in.
Yeah, that's great.
Quite happy to adopt that into the motion. You move the motion?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Point of clarification.
Point of clarification, Young Kevin.
So what are we doing there? Are we saying it's appointments, commissioner appointments and objections?
Rolled into one committee.
Committee?
Yep.
And the members will be Councillor Wilson, Robertson, Kelleher, Scott and Noon.
And Malcolm.
What? Yeah, but we haven't got the... although I have done, apparently mine's lapsed, I have done the make...
But we're going to put... So you were on the objections committee, and so you will still be on the combined committee because it's a balance.
We'll come back with the terms of reference. That
having sense. Having somebody who's lapsed isn't the same problem with as having somebody who hasn't done it. I mean, Councillor Benson Pope and the DCC has lapsed his thing, and it doesn't seem to stop him taking commissioner appointments, so obviously it doesn't matter.
Okay, people, are you happy with that, Kevin?
Yeah, no,
Kevin, happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're going back to that major motion so that we get some morning tea. And the major motion was, God save us, I've lost it again.
It's on page 25.
Ah, bloody hell, I'm going back.
Busy today, it's not going to do any saving.
If the council receives this report, it adopts the proposed decision-making structure as outlined below. It approves the proposed memberships of the committees and groups. Do you want to add that little bit in?
Yes, and that's...
you've
got it.
And also Kate had number 8 that she
added. Yes.
Which was that the council consider appointment of alternates where appropriate for committees in the December meeting.
Yep.
And Councillor Laws has that the committee structure of the Otago Regional Council, including membership of committee groups, be reviewed after 6 months.
Right. And then we had the noting inside there as well. There were three notes that added. Okay.
And just to be absolutely clear, under the council purpose, we've limited the description there that it ends after the Otago Regional Council, full stop.
Yes, I think so. That actually stops it.
Yeah.
Yep.
A whole lot of...
Is that for strategy?
No, that was
that's the
policy.
Oh, okay.
Where's that? Which page?
Purpose, darling? Council purpose.
10.
Purpose, the governing body for Otago Regional Council.
Cool.
Yeah. Easy.
Okay. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried, you can go to our morning tea.
Madam Chair.